Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker's Psychic Hour. Well, we've got a caller in the queue, Neil, and we're going to take that caller in just one moment. But first, we want to invite our callers and listeners to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. Follow us, and also on Facebook and on Twitter. Follow us or send a friend request. We'd really appreciate your support. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. We are broadcasting again on Friday this week, but the following week it will be Monday and Friday because of the holiday. So that is the schedule next week. And let us bring on this caller, 631 area code.
Yes. Hi. Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my phone call.
Sure.
My name is Sue. I've had a very good year, and where I'm working now is a little bit too far, so I applied to a job a little bit closer and more money.
Okay.
I'm going on the second interview for human resources just to talk with them and stuff. They already called my reference, everything. I'm going Friday. And then I also applied to a school that's very close to me, like 5 minutes down the road, and I applied last Thursday. I would just wanted to see if you see them calling.
Oh,
because I'm literally, I'll take the job that's further, and I'm working further away now. I just took off because I'm sick today. But do you see me, the closer one calling?
You were working on a bus or something, right, with kids?
No, that was a long time ago. Now I'm like teacher aide.
But you were doing that. So I'm identifying the right person. It's not like I'm saying, you know, you were a secretary at a law firm. You worked on a bus with children. So that you're the person that I am correctly identifying. Okay. What's your birth date, Sue?
October 5th.
And the year, please?
60.
1960. Okay. And so, and you were, there was an issue, I remember, with you. Your parents wanted you to move into a different residence, and you didn't want to do it because you thought it was going to be older people, like it was a
retirement. So I'm staying where I am now. And it's good. My son's living with me and stuff. It's good.
So you're staying where you are, which you wanted. So that happened. They didn't force you to move because they help you financially, correct?
Right.
Okay. So the question today is specifically about what?
If you see the school that's closer to me calling me for an interview.
Okay. And again, what is it that you do now? Or what do you do now? In work, and what are you trying to do at this other school?
I'm a teacher aide at the school I'm at now, and I applied for a teacher assistant job a little bit further away, but I'm on about the same distance as I'm a teacher aide now, and I'm going for the second interview with human resources for that Friday, but then I also applied for a teacher aide, teacher assistant closer to home.
Closer to home, and that, when did you apply? Like in the last couple of weeks?
Last Thursday.
Last Thursday. So, and you've heard nothing from them yet?
No.
Nothing yet. Well, it's kind of it's an odd time of year because of the fact that schools are, you know, taking a break soon. I mean, I don't know what the schedule is in your area, but I think this is the last week of school for most people. So, when you applied, is there any expectation that you were given, or was this all online? You know, expectation.
I applied in person, and a lot of the schools, I applied on person, and a lot of the schools will be hiring for January because the one I'm going for on Friday, the second interview, they're hiring now for January, so they have everything in place.
Right, but what I'm saying is, it's a weird time of year because of the break, and so for you, you know, the best move is going to be whether you contact them now, which I think you should, and see if they've processed your application or if they have any updates, rather than wait until January. That's what I think. But as far as getting that job, I don't know.
The one she's interviewing is more likely. Right now, you know, you have, in my situation here with you, I have to look at this in terms of a vibrational attitude. You know, how strong is the vibration? It's not as strong as I'd like it to be in your favor.
For the closer one. That's what I thought.
It's not as strong as I'd like it to be. Which probably means that they haven't really reached a decision, but they're not eager to get to you, but they haven't reached a decision. So what that means is there's no finalization on it. You're not probably their top choice, but what can we do? Well, we can put out energy and things like that. See, sometimes there's a black and white. You have it or you don't. And then there's a middle ground that is interpreted by a vibrational field. What this means is, Sue, you're not destined to be there. This is not a destiny that you're going to, where it would have been easy to say, you got it, you're going to have it. What you're in is a realm of possibilities, which can still occur for any human being on the planet. We have sure things, not sure things, and then we have possibilities. So you have some energy. Let me see if I can figure out really quickly an image that you might connect to that means something to you, and then we can apply that to maybe assisting you in getting this job. The image that I'm seeing is a bouquet of flowers. So if we go to a bouquet of flowers, what comes to your mind?
Prettiness, hope.
Okay, and anything specifically in your life?
I don't know, birthdays, Christmas.
Is anyone getting married soon around in your area of people?
No.
Well, we've got to me, you see, the image is hope. So that's good. But the correct specific connection, we're not finding. Let me ask you another question. Do you know anyone who's ever worked on the rapid transit system, buses, trains?
Well, she worked on a bus. Didn't you hear me mention that?
No.
She worked on a school bus.
Oh, you worked on a school bus?
Yes.
She worked on a school bus.
Well, all we can say is, you know, it's been a while since, what has it been, a week since she applied?
But she said last Thursday, so it's been just shy of a week. Tomorrow will be a week.
Well, that's still too early. I don't know. I don't know if you're going to get it.
But she needs to follow. I mean, whether she gets it or not, I think being proactive is always helpful, especially because schools are closing down for a couple weeks. I would give them a call and say, did you have any conversation with the person you handed the application to? Anything that you can tell us about?
I just gave it to the secretary.
Right.
And the secretary said she was going to put it on the secretary's of human resources desk.
The secretary of human resources desk.
Okay.
So
she's done work before, isn't it?
Right, and she's got an interview at a school that's a little further away, which I originally said I think that's the one that she is more likely to get. But
you know, the only thing I can say, Sue, is I'm stuck on this bouquet of flowers. I don't know what. How about the name Sarah? Anybody named Sarah in your background?
No.
I don't know.
Wait. Sarah, it doesn't need to be a close relationship. Any Sarah. It could be a soft. I mean, you haven't known anyone named Sarah in your life at all?
No.
I don't know, Sue. It doesn't. Well, we'll put out an energy for you on your behalf. But if you're asking us as a psychic impression, it's not real strong. We might be wrong. Maybe energy work by this conversation might work. But I'm not able to say to you, oh, yeah, you've got it, or this is a shoe-in, or the psychic vision clearly sees it. It's weird. Sometimes even psychics get into an area where there's fog, and it's not clear. And that, to me, is defined that there's no clear destiny here.
Well, I mean, destiny is ambiguous anyway for most people.
Maybe,
but even with a creative destiny, it's a little bit more challenging.
Well, sometimes as a psychic, you can look in the future and just
see it.
You see it. Sometimes you don't see it, and you wonder why. I mean, this would take a deeper examination than what we're able. Do we have any other callers?
We can talk to her a little longer. How did you present yourself when you, did you get a vibe from the secretary? Was she friendly?
She was very, very friendly. And she said that they were definitely hiring. They always need aides. That's what she told me.
Is your mother still alive?
She is.
I don't know. Just work with us for a minute. Is your mother have any talents? Did she ever do flower arrangements? Who's the person that would be?
She does that a lot. Yep.
Okay, so can you explain that?
Master Gardener.
Okay, so now that's.
Now it's starting to make a little bit more sense. But so she'll cut flowers in the garden and bring them in the house and arrange them beautifully and all that?
Yes.
Okay, so it's her. What's her work history like?
She worked different jobs.
What kind of work?
I forget now, just different things.
Did she ever work in a department store or retail?
Yes, she did.
Okay. This is where it's coming from. The energy of you working at this school that's closer to you has some energy field that's related to your mother. So whatever your mother did to bring you on this planet and whatever you have progressed in life to experience and your experiences that have brought you to this question in your life, will you be working at this school? It has to do with the energy field of your mother. That's what I'm getting. Right now, there's a little bit more promise than what we had before because we're attached.
Well, she would like me to work closer. So would I. It's not that I won't take the job that I'm getting on Friday. It's just that in the rain and the snow, as I'm getting older and things like that, I would like something closer.
Okay, how many miles apart are the schools?
I have to go 25 minutes. To drive to the one I'm getting Friday. I drive now about that or more to the one I'm working at. And the other one, maybe the most 5 to 15 minutes or 3 minutes. There's one right down the road from me, a high school, actually 3 minutes away.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll put out, now that we've attached this symbolism, flowers to your mother, and we've made it to determination about the retail and everything, and your mother wants you to have it, we'll just join ranks with her, put out energy that you get it this school sooner, that closer to you, and give us a call, let us know the results. That's all we can do right now.
Okay,
Sue, good luck.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Okay. Well.
Yeah. I mean, what I found is when you can't get a clear answer, you have to start going to symbols, and then you got to put the symbols together, and then you got to interpret what the symbols might mean for the question that's asked, and then you work with it from that stage, and there can be all kinds of angles to take. As we took one angle with Sue, but not everything, not you think everything is planned. Everything, you know, has a definite conclusion. So shouldn't a psychic see that? Well, maybe, but not everything has a definite conclusion. And it's not the psychic's fault if they can't see it, unless they're inept. But that's kind of the way it works. There's
well,
a lot
and that's
of mysteries
the, that's
out there.
Right, and that's the reason that, you know, energy work is done. For, you know, obviously if there's a destiny line, energy work isn't needed to manifest an outcome when there's destiny. You don't need energy work. I mean, maybe energy work can make the process more pleasant or, you know, maybe bring a result quicker. But generally speaking, you do not need energy work for an outcome that is guaranteed. You don't need it. You don't need it. So the clue to people is if there is an absolute prediction going on, the attachment will not be and will work on the energy for you. Because
well, it's
in
like
that
anything.
Case,
you know, it's like
obviously
life.
It's not
you go
absolute.
To the doctor and the doctor says, no, you're fine. Everything going. No problem. And they get an office call visit and they get paid. Other doctor, another situation, oh, you need surgery. Oh, you need to come back. Oh, you need this, you need that. And the bill gets deeper and the work gets more deeper. It's the same thing with a psychic. You get a lot of easy cases, no problem. The answer is yes, no, goodbye, have a nice life. Or there's work that has to be done on various degrees. And I would say it's about 50-50 in my experience, the way it kind of works out. About 50-50. Some things are just easily said and done, and some things take a little bit more problem. Now, the problematic situation we do have, and I hate to say this, but it's true, is when people that come for a reading aren't in their right headspace. They argue, they challenge, they don't do what they're told.
Right, there's self-sabotage going on.
And then nothing happens.
So predictions that are actually seen by a psychic can be altered by the behavior of the subject.
Not only that, but it can be altered by the motive of the person. If it becomes too selfish in content, oh, well, if I get this.
We're going to get to our caller, so stay there, caller 919.
Yeah,
hold on for just a moment.
Within 1 minute, if a person says, listen, I want this to happen because if I get it, I'm going to give to the poor. I'm going to open up institutions. That doesn't always work just because these great motives.
Right.
I had one client. Well, I want what I want because I'm going to open up things for people and help them. And I don't know why the universe doesn't give me this if I have good intention.
Well, the point is you should have, I mean, what's the reason for not doing that work now on some smaller scale? I mean, if you don't have the money to open the centers, maybe volunteer somewhere. I mean, so that's not a good way to try to get what you want.
With higher elements, you don't bargain. With the devil and his disciples, you can bargain. But higher energy.
So the answer is become a Satanist. That was a joke. Okay, so let's bring on 919. Hi.
They do drop?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you say Satanist, maybe they dropped.
Oh, no, they're back.
Oh, they're back?
Yes. Hi, 919.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. What information do you need?
Well, what's your name?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name is Kay.
Okay. All right. We just spoke with you. That's right, Kay. No, your voice sounded familiar. From Atlanta,
1229. Yes.
666.
Yes.
And what did we talk to you about? I don't know. We may not be talking about that today, but what did we talk to you about last? It was a few days ago.
Relationship. Huh? No. What?
24. I know, but I think we don't.
Management issues.
Oh, you're the management issue person.
Yes.
With
the job.
Yes.
The boss on leave unexpectedly, but came back soon.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's working out, as you said, so grateful for that. But
so that's
today,
going okay.
All right. Pretty much as you said, she's not content, and it's obvious, but I'm continuing to just be that affirmation of goodness all day and not letting it bother me. So.
Okay. Did you have a specific question today? Or no?
I do.
Okay, go ahead. Good. Go ahead.
My partner is scheduled to, well, it's a possibility that she may have to have surgery. And my question is, will she has to see two more specialists. Will she have to have this surgery? And if so, how will it turn out?
Okay, what is her birth date?
5/10/74.
1974. Okay, 616. Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're both the same master, no?
Did I add something wrong?
You're both the same master number. You're a 36-9 and she's a 27-9.
That's what I had. You know, it's really, for some reason, I have...
8 years apart.
That's what I added for her, but then I looked over... I don't know what I have going on this other page. I think I added something wrong the other day. But anyway... Okay, so you're
zero.
Yeah, she has a zero in her.
And she's having surgery. And what's your question?
I'm wondering if she's the way things are looking, she may have to have the surgery, but she has to see two more specialists, and then it'll be decided whether or not she actually will have to have the surgery. And I'm just wondering because she had similar surgery 2 years ago, so just
a
trying
similar
to see if this is...
surgery 2 years ago.
Yes.
Well, I think Kristen can respond, but I think that of the two left, one will say you don't need it, the other one say you do. What kind of surgery is this?
She had to have a hysterectomy 2 years ago, and because she had a lot of fibroids. Well,
yeah.
They have come back in different areas now, so they're like in her stomach and her colon.
Oh, wow.
Pretty much the same, yeah.
Do fibroids turn, can they become malignant because they are tumors? I mean.
They can, but from what they're saying, because that was a big concern previously. That's why she had to have the emergency issues. Now the doctor is thinking it's not malignant, but that's what she's pretty sure. But because where they're located, they can cause other issues.
Right. I was going to say, I mean, if they're in her colon, I imagine they can cause blockages and
yes.
Things like that. And is there any, you know, by the way, I want to say that I wrote down female surgery. So I thought it was going to be related to the, you know, something that goes on specifically with women, the second chakra. But is there anything that can be done short of a surgery to manage things like fibroids or to prevent those growths? Is there any medications that can be?
Well, she did. She has been doing this Lupron shots for the past 3 months, which are just, it's very difficult. It was with the intent of trying to shrink those. I'm thinking if she just manages her diet a little bit different, exercise more, maybe manageable, but I don't know if that means they'll go away.
Is she overweight?
Yes.
See, we
she was always a basketball player, and she was very athletic.
Athletic, and sometimes,
CK, we can't give medical advice. If you ask us, do you think she's going to have surgery?
That's what I'm asking. Do you think she's going to have the surgery? That's my concern.
Saying that the Lucron shot didn't agree with her and they didn't work to shrink fibroids?
No.
You know, I mean, there are ways you can reduce that holistic medicine, and there's probably all different kinds of things you can do, but you don't want to keep them there.
No.
And how intrusive is the surgery? I mean, if she has the surgery, does she leave, come home the following day?
No.
She stays in the hospital?
No. the last time she stayed in the hospital was 4 days, and this time she will probably possibly end up staying in the hospital at least 2 to 3 days. That's why I'm concerned. So that's why I'm like,
yeah. Well, you, I mean, if being in the hospital isn't great, it's not helpful.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you're asking us a psychic question. We can't give medical advice. You're asking us a psychic question.
Right, I understand.
You know, I hope she doesn't have to go in the hospital, but I see her in the hospital.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means. Maybe I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. Maybe energy will alter it. But at this moment, I see her going in. Did one doctor suggest she should have surgery?
Yes. However, her primary wants to get 2 specialists to give because of where they're located.
Is she seeing? Is her primary a gynecologist, or is it just a primary care, like a family practice doctor? That's her primary care doctor.
This is a family practice practitioner, and so that's why she's going to see her gynecologist as well as a gastroenterologist.
Yeah, because of the fact that they're getting into the colon area. I mean,
I know you can't give medical advice. Yes, I understand.
Right.
That.
The fact that they're starting to invade other areas is concerning. I mean, that's a concern. And even the fact that they're there and returning after she's had the surgery once is a concern. I know that, you know, people do produce fibroids. It happens, but it sounds like this is, you know, a little bit more problematic because of the fact that they've.
Correct.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right now it looks like that. So that answers the question, but that doesn't mean that she's going to have it. It just means that psychically it doesn't seem where that's going.
I mean, I don't know at this point if exercise can, you know, get rid of fibroids. I mean, I agree with what you're saying regarding adopting a healthier lifestyle. She should do that for sure. But as far as managing, unless she sees like a alternative doctor, someone who does like, you know, Chinese medicine or is a naturopath and have, you know, sometimes that kind of intervention can help a person avoid surgery.
How tall is she?
5'7".
How much does she weigh?
I think she's maybe like 190.
190?
Yeah, 190 maybe. Maybe she might be 200 now. She might be 200 pounds now.
Okay. Well, she definitely, you know.
A lot of stress in her life as well. So it's just a common hodgepodge of stuff.
Well, yeah, and the stress can also, it can influence things that grow inside your body. Fibroids are
definitely.
I mean, you know, if she wants to dramatically alter her life and look at this in a way that is more holistic and finding different ways to reduce those fibroids, that's going to take more work on her part. And that's possible. But if she doesn't want to do that work and she doesn't want those in her body, then she should do surgery.
Okay. All right. Well, I know you can't give medical advice. I was just kind of wondering if you did see the doctor's recommendation and
Probably they're going to recommend surgery. It sounds like the problem is invading other areas, and even when it's limited to the uterus, I guess is where they grow, and outside the uterus, in that area, doctors will recommend it. I mean, you know, I know people that have had fibroid surgery.
Yes.
And is there any question that she would have to have a hysterectomy because of it? Because I know people who have had hysterectomies.
She already had a hysterectomy, and actually, this is before she had fibroids removed. This was years and years ago, and then she ended up having to have a full hysterectomy 2 years ago, and now she's having another issue with the same fibroid mass.
That's so crazy. So she had a hysterectomy, and she's still getting fibroids?
Yes. Well,
I don't know how common that is, but
Yeah, I know. I think they call it dermal wards or something like that. But anyway, yes, so. Okay. All right. Well, it is very convoluted and very complicated matter. So, but I do thank you for your time.
Okay, you're welcome, Kay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, take care. Bye. Okay. Whoops, I unmuted the wrong caller. Sorry. 203 is our next. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Kat. Kat, 712. Good.
Yeah. Just calling in to listen and catch up.
712, 53. She's 2801. Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, sorry. Just calling in to catch up. I've been doing the TMS therapy, trans whatever, the brain magnetic stimulation, transdermal magnetic stimulation. I'm into my third week.
Okay.
And I don't know, maybe a little bit of results, mainly symptoms, which they're really not listening to. It's interesting. But I'm still hopeful. It's an interesting thing, the process. It's like a woodpecker on your skull.
Oh, that sounds unpleasant. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, just tell us a little bit about the experience of doing, I mean, because I know I'm not familiar with how this procedure is done.
Well,
and what procedurally what occurs, and then what's
sure.
coming up for you as a result.
Sure. They go specifically to a particular part in the brain, which is left frontal, and maybe it's like front lobal or whatever. I can't remember the name. I'm sorry. But they put a flat sort of odd-shaped machine. They sit it right on your skull, your head, on the right side or the left side, usually left side. And the way they test to find your level is initially they keep doing this testing until your hand starts to twitch. And they're aiming at a motor, whatever, part in your brain. And once it starts to twitch, they know that's the level, or to go just under that level. They want to reach 120 level, whatever, in every person, but each person is different, has a different 120, and they find this out by your motor twitching. So once they determine that, then they start weekly, 5 days a week for 40 minutes, and it goes for about 6 weeks, and it literally goes to the left part of the frontal brain where there is, you know, they believe that affects that part of the brain is controls depression and so on. So you put on a little cap, and they measure exactly where the machine's supposed to go, and then they mark the cap. So they every week they know exactly where to line it up. And my symptoms, I felt it in along my nose and my teeth sort of like getting congested. I told them one day I left and my body felt like it was drunk. My body, not my mind. And what else? My high blood pressure, they're checking that to make sure that that isn't doing it, but my blood pressure evidently has gone up. But mainly walking out of there and feeling out of it, my body, like I need to go to a chiropractor and get balance. But they're interesting. They don't buy all my symptoms. And I'm just giving them symptoms because that's me. I research, I want to know, and I want to share information. And so often they say, well, we can stop. And I'm like, I'm not interested in stopping. I'm just giving you information. So that's it. So I think I'm in my third week out of 4 or 6 weeks total.
So it's, are you psychologically, I mean, how is this affecting you?
Exhausted. Absolutely exhausted. And they say, well, maybe that's the depression. And I keep telling them, look, I know me. I know my symptoms. All these symptoms have happened in the past week. So it's making me more tired, which they finally say, yes, it can. So that's kind of all I can see right now because I'm frustrated at being tired and wasting days. Yesterday I was able to push.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Are you less depressed? I mean, it's only been a week. I mean, how can we tell really what?
No, I'm into 2.5 weeks. I could possibly see it change. Yeah. Maybe, yes, I was able to push myself the last 2 days. And even at being tired. So I'm thinking maybe that is not much yet. But often they don't see things for 2 weeks or even more.
Is she doing this for depression?
Yeah, for depression.
And so it stimulates the left eye stimulates
the left frontal part of the brain. Yeah.
Stimulates
right.
And this is supposed to get rid of your depression by stimulating...
Yeah.
Mind and neuron.
Magnetically, it does. Go ahead.
TNS? No, I just, I'm on a TNS therapy. Is that what you?
T, M as in Mary, S, transdermal magnetic stimulation. And it's, I'm doing it at Yale.
TMS treatment for depression. Interesting.
What's it stand for?
Transcranial magnetic stimulation.
I think it's transdermal magnetic stimulation.
Oh, well, according to, I'm just looking it up on the internet.
Okay.
Cranial magnetic stimulation.
Okay,
but they
then you're correct.
Different things,
no, you're correct.
Transcranial magnetic stimulation, yeah. Yeah, because they're not, I mean, it's not the dermis they're treating, it's the cranium.
so these are doctors doing this?
Yeah, this is Yale University Psychiatric, where they do ECG. They do ECT, ketamine.
She ECT.
Okay. Well, how much longer is a study? How much longer does your procedure last? Another week or what? 2-6 weeks?
Oh no, maybe 2 more weeks. I'm happy with it. I'm planning on sticking it out. I'm hopeful.
You seem upbeat. I mean, you have some other symptoms aside from what you were experienced before, but you don't sound depressed. That's one thing.
You gotta look at this as taking time. And I once had a client who wanted to kind of become less obsessed with this man. So she went to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist put her on Prozac.
Oh.
And then
this is a funny story.
She waited to do a reading with me to take her first pill. So I went to her house and she took the pill. She took the pill. And then like 3 minutes later, she goes, I'm over him. They worked. I mean, I was laughing so hard, but you know, you got to take this. You may be going through a process of eliminating your depression, so you may still feel like you're depressed while you're doing it. Maybe there's a karmic journey you're going through in this. Maybe there's a lot you have to get rid of. So you can't, you got to follow through on the whole thing and then give it time, a month or two, to see how you feel. Because if it's a fast remedy, it was worthless. If it's a long-term remedy, that's going to take time to kick in once everything settles in your brain, then it's going to be worthwhile. But we think you should just keep doing it.
But anxiety, they say it treats anxiety as well.
Yeah. Hopefully PTSD. Yeah, and after this, I'm doing EMDR, which I also feel very hopeful about. I really like my doctor, and it's I think that's going really well. So
EMDR is something, is this something that you've already done? Because we know that there's been a couple things that you've been
This with someone a few years ago for 3 years, and he just was so stringent on doing things a certain way, which never worked for me, so it never worked. But I'm trying again with a new guy, and this guy's phenomenal. So it's working, boy. It's very intense.
What's he doing
very
different than the other one?
I'm sorry?
What is he doing different than the other guy?
The other guy, the other guy was so nervous about me being in a safe place, and I had to create a safe place, and I kept trying to explain to him, there has never been a safe, happy memory in my life. You're only getting me upset. And then it's like, well, from 1 to 10, where are you? And every time I'd start to go somewhere, it was like from 1 to 10. And then he wanted me to have all these characters that I talked to and bring into a room and put in separate rooms, and he felt like I had personality disassociation, like, what is it?
Multiple personalities.
Yes. And he was obsessed with that. He wasn't too involved.
You weren't a match with him. The way he was approaching your.
No, not a match.
Whatever your experience.
Not a match.
It's important to have a person that you resonate with. I think.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, even if it's a treatment, you know, even if it's a surgery, for instance, obviously a surgery is going to be effective whether you like the surgeon or not, but it can have an impact on healing whether you like the person or resonate with that person. So, I mean, especially when we're talking about psychiatric disorders, anxiety, depression, obviously you have to be comfortable with the person who's administering this, for sure.
Yeah.
So it's good that you like this guy.
I feel he's very skilled and kind of a personality that's really good for me, very healing. So.
Good. That's excellent.
So that's it. Thanksgiving was interesting. I won't go into it because you probably have other callers. I can talk another time about it.
We did, and they dropped. That person dropped. So if you want to quickly tell us a little bit about the holiday, because didn't you see your son?
Well, I did go to my son's wife's parents' house and to visit, and everyone was amazingly civil, much more than before. And I thought, this is wonderful. And I did, you know, I was very positive, but it was also, they're going to give them 9 acres literally next door to their property, so they can build a house up there. This is in the Berkshires. They live in the city. So it'll be a while before they're able to build a house, but I think in the long run it's wonderful. And I'm so, so happy for all of them, but my heart is also breaking because they're literally leaving me behind. And I do feel, and this is not meanness in me, I feel the mother-in-law is... wants more. She could reach out more to me and share more with me, this family, but they're all leaving me behind, and I'm just praying, and I know Terry eventually will come around a little more, and whatever is there, I'll deal with, but it's heartbreaking. But I'm happy for all of them, and then I'm a little worried that maybe Terry's getting in a bit of a trap by being
taking
given
the land.
Yeah,
and then he's indebted to the in-laws. And,
right.
That can be difficult.
And I have to keep my mouth shut completely.
Is it possible that this is because they're built? I mean, where exactly do they live? You said in the city, the Berkshire Mountains.
They're in Brooklyn, New York, and the Berkshires are just
New York.
New York City.
So they're
this
in
is
New
2 hours,
Connecticut, right? 2 hours?
It's Massachusetts. It's about 2 hours. I moved Terry there when he was 14, and it is the most idyllic little pocket.
Okay.
Oh, my God. It's just magical there, and I wish I could be there. So I'm glad that they're going back there. That's
so
where his wife grew up.
Maybe this is a place that they will, I mean, you know, you're in a better space with your family. So maybe this is somewhere where they're going to have you come up, and it can be, you know, more opportunity for you to bond with your son and his wife. I mean, is that possible?
I'm not in a better place with anyone except for Terry, and just through Terry and prayers and me continuing to try and step back, I hope, you know, things just get better. I'm not expecting much from anyone else.
Well, I guess that's positive. I mean, you not expecting from other people is a better place to be than expecting and being disappointed.
It is. Yeah, it is. you know, I say I'm brokenhearted, but at the same time, I'm saying I have to deal with this. So move forward and just continue to be the best you can and continue to love and pray. And
do you have issues with his wife? You're saying you're only on good terms with him, or things are only improving?
I think she does with me, but maybe she does with a lot of people. And I'm beginning to believe that the mother is as controlling as the daughter, and that's why the daughter's that way. And oh goodness, I don't want my granddaughter to be like that, but it's, you know, it may be more powerful, this control aspect, than I realized.
Well, we hope everything works out okay there, and and know how this procedure follows through on everything for us.
Please do.
Just wanted to call in and catch up, and also wish you guys a happy holiday. I'll talk to you
maybe in
the new year. Yeah,
thank
the
you.
Best in the new year to both of you. Thanks for being there for me.
You're welcome.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, we have a call from 302 area code. Hi.
Hi, Neil and Kristen. This is Gloria.
Hi, Gloria.
Yeah, I have a question for you guys. I know I mentioned my...
Give us your birthday again, real quick. Hi, give us your birthday again.
2/10/69.
I should remember that. Okay. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I've spoken before about my grandson seeing a person in the house. Recently, he was over again and visiting, and he mentioned, he said, he came up to me and said, Grandmother, why is that man in our house? And I just said, oh, well, where do you see him? And he said, in the kitchen, which he often sees him in a certain side of the house. So then last week, my daughter spoke to me on the phone, and she said, yeah, your grandson saw that person in our apartment now. So I was just wondering if you guys can get some kind of message or tell me who it might be, or...
Well, you talked to us about it before. Didn't we talk about this before? Briefly?
I don't think we really got, idea of who...
I'm trying to remember what we told you at that time about...
I think Neil was just telling me just, you know, just, you know, shrug it off, you know, take
it,
like, you know, lightly. Kind of like just don't make a big deal about it, like... You know, he might see things, but it's not a big deal. Go about it. We never really talked about who it might have been.
Well,
how old is your grandson?
5.
5?
Yes.
Does he describe the man?
I asked him, I said, what does he look like? And he says, and I've never heard my grandson say this term, but he said he looks like a milkman. A milkman. Yeah, that was really bizarre.
How would you know what a milkman is?
Exactly. He's never said that word before.
Right, and these days there are no milk. I mean, there are milkmen.
Exactly. Well, right. Exactly.
Did you say? Well, what do you mean by that? What? Why does he look like that?
I did, and he didn't really elaborate anymore. He just kind of shrugged his shoulders and kind of went back to what he was doing. So I didn't push him.
So let me ask you a question. In the background of your family background, anybody had a farm? Anyone in a delivery truck?
Not that I know of.
Anybody a milkman?
No.
I'm joking.
Okay, so in the current attitude of advertising, are there any commercials on TV where kids, you know, drink your milk and... Or anything that he might have seen with milk in it, drink your milk, something like that?
He does like old-fashioned cartoons. He doesn't really like the modern cartoons. He likes the old stuff.
Maybe there's something that he saw there.
You should ask him, did you ever see a milkman in the cartoons? Something like that. You know, entertain him with that. Now, it could be an act of imagination, but when I was 5 years old, I was seeing... a lot of spirits, but I had my grandfather help me along that route. But I was seeing spirits that had crossed over and just all kinds of stuff. I mean, intensely. So I'm not going to minimize the fact that he's seen he can see ghosts or spirits, whatever it may be. You know, the only thing you can do is enter him and say, what did you guys talk about? What does he do? And if he goes, oh, nothing, then don't probe, you know. But if you say, well, why, if he's nice, why are you wondering if he's here? Do you want him here? Do you not want him here? No, I don't know. I just don't know why he keeps coming in. Why don't you ask him?
Well, I think his mother asked him, are you scared of him? And he said, no.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, I was just wondering, do you guys get any information on who it might be? I will say that in the past I've watched a nephew, and he even told me that someone was in the house watching us. But he said it was a fireman.
Well, I found
that interesting.
You know, what's the history of the house? Anybody die there? Do you know anything about the house itself?
I've asked my neighbors, and they don't know of anybody dying in the house, but I think there's been three owners in the house prior to us.
You know, what I was thinking potentially, rather than being a family member, is someone who's connected to the property.
Yeah,
whether they died there or not doesn't matter.
Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's somebody who had the property, the souls haven't moved forward, they've kind of stuck in that environment. Sometimes there's a soul in there that happens to be active. There's something in the house, you know. From this point, you'd have to go to the house. A psychic would have to go to the house and see what they can find or pick up. It sounds as though right now it's a spirit connected to the house,
rather than a family member or someone.
Right. Okay.
And
you guys.
Sometimes the third eye of children can be activated to such an extent that it moves into their naked eye. And if these spirits feel like they can manifest themselves to such a degree that they can appear into a child's eyesight, the spirit is actually manifesting. Now, the other question would be, you know, is it residual spirit? Is it just something that's frozen that keeps reappearing? Or is it an active spirit that can interact with the kids? You know, you have to determine that. You know, a milkman and a fireman doesn't bring on any significant concern right now. It seems to be that the spirit is saying, I'm here to of service. I'm a good person, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry about it too much. You might
No, I don't
ask
worry.
Him, no.
I don't worry. I was just curious.
He's curious.
I don't think it's anybody in, I don't think it's a family member. I think it's something attached to the house.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome, Gloria.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bye bye.
Bye. I think she has her radio on or computer on because could you hear us back?
That was the milkman.
Yeah. No, it was the fireman, the firewoman, and the milkman. Okay. We have very little time.
Well, you know, there was an old phrase, fireman saved my child. You know, so a fireman appearing to a child, I don't know. But, you know, okay, so since the last caller had to do with spirits in the house, that's always an intriguing thing. I love when people have spirits in the house. I used to love to go on house calls and talk to the spirits and determine that they should stay or leave and that kind of thing. You know, the mistake that people make is when a psychic says to the spirit, go to the light. I always laugh at that. The spirits know what, a human doesn't need to tell a spirit to go to the light. That's ridiculous. A spirit has more attitude about the light, you know, because they assume, oh, the spirit doesn't know that it's dead and it's wandering around. Well, maybe. But a spirit doesn't need to have a human being say, you're dead, go to the light. The light itself is a consciousness, and the spirit would be drawn to the light anyways. It wouldn't be saying, oh, there's a light there. I wonder what that is. I'll avoid it. A spirit would be sucked into the light. would be like somebody outside in a cold, wintry day who has no home, nowhere to go, and they see a lighted cabin. They're going to go over to the lighted cabin, knock on the door, obviously, and say, can you give me some shelter or something? So there's no, when you talk about spirits that are lingering in a house, some are disillusioned and they don't know they're dead. That can be. Some get stuck in the sort of immediate astral realm surrounding the environment upon which they died, and they kind of get stuck there. It all sounds kind of silly, but these things do happen. I've experienced them in talking to spirits, that some of these things do occur. And sometimes they die prematurely, and their spirits can't transcend.
Right, and well,
so their physical body would have died.
And we're not talking about transcend. We're talking about move to the astral realm and start to work on their soul. So anyone attached to that house that may have still been alive now could be attached to the astral realm surrounding the home.
Yeah.
Usually if there's a problem, it's, I mean, a lifetime that they remain on the earth astral plane. And then maybe at the time that they would have died, then they move into the astral realm. But, you know, problem is we're out of time today, so we got to cut the conversation short. We're back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And remember, next week, Monday and Friday, is our schedule for the week of Christmas. Okay, talk to you on Friday. Bye-bye.